Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
RAT right now. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 30th of March, a Wednesday. We hadn't planned to be on tonight. Had some other things that needed to be done. However, we managed to work some other options and delegate some authority here. And here we are. And as far as I know, everything will be normal for the rest of the week. Amy will be on tomorrow night. and I'll be on after her. And the shooting bench, I mean, the Liberty Lounge will take place as scheduled on Friday. I know we've missed a Liberty Lounge here, which I absolutely hate to do, but duty calls sometimes, and that's just what we have to do. But we're going to make up for it this week. So next week, I believe, let me look here, double check for you, so you can make some plans here. Next week is first, seven, this is the 30th. You can go over here and carry the four. Okay, next week we should be on all week, normal. And the 13th, and, well, the 13th for sure. I don't know about the 15th yet. That's a Liberty Lounge night, so I'm not positive about that one. So B2 Basic, I'm not sick, but thank you for your concern. So next week all normal, 13th Wednesday night, definitely not going to be here. So there you go. All right, let's move on here, bigger and better things. I got to get my class schedule up. I've been working on that. I got so many cotton picking things going on here that it's not working according to plan. So we'll get into that here. I'll have it done for you by Monday. I want to remind everybody of the Arms Expo again. And that will be, I don't know why I can't remember this, 17th, 18th, and 19th of June. Yakima, Washington. I expect to see a whole bunch of you up there. You got lots of time to schedule time off and save up a couple of bucks and come on up there. Gas is cheap right now. Hopefully it still will be in June. And maybe some of y'all can make it up there. All right. And the following weekend, 24th, 25th, and 26th, Personal Defense Handgun 3. That will be that's the same class we did last year up there, and a few months before that we did Personal Defense Handgun 2. We are offering a discount for that for you people that sign up early, and you're getting $100 off of that class. We've got a great place to do it up there, and ought to be a lot of fun. So there's, you go to the website, go to southwestshootingauthority.com. And that's right, Doc One. It's funny you should mention that. SouthwestShootingAuthority.com, over on the left-hand side, you can just go right straight to the online store and seek out the little block in there, the little link for Personal Defense Handgun 3 Washington. And it'll show you a code to put in there. Now, that code's only good for a certain amount of time. So if you want to get the discount, you need to get signed up. And I'm not sure how long that code's good for. Let me look. Let's see, it's on 25. I think the code is good up until the 17th of June. I'm not, either the 10th or the 17th of June, somewhere in there. So you still got a little time. Katie Brad, corner, son. And don't come out until the show's over. No. I will not be coming home to 1911 unless I move somewhere and my address happens to be 1911, and that's the only way you'll expect me to come home to that. Not going to be happening. Ever, never. My goodness, what was the last thing you guys heard? It seemed like I forgot to turn my mic back on there. So, let me get back here. And you guys let me know where I left off. Wow. Shame on me. Well, let's just start here. The Arms Expo coming up on 17th, 18th, and 19th of June in Yakima, Washington. And the following weekend will be 24th, 25th, and 26th will be the 3-day personal defense handgun. Same class we did last year. And then a few months before that we did the personal defense handgun 2. It was a, we've had a great time up there. We've got a really good place to shoot. It's private. We don't have any rules and regulations of regulated, what do you call it, regulated ranges and stuff. So it's just kind of out in the open. It's a lot of fun. Good folks up there. So I saw here, Katie Brad, I will expect you to head to the corner voluntarily without me having to supervise you. And stay there for the rest of the show, please. You say, I'll come home to the 1911? No. The only way that I will come home to a 1911 is if I happen to move somewhere and my address is 1911 something another. That would be the only way. Just ain't ever, never going to happen. Yeah, that's right. Be too basic. Yeah, and I'll tell you what that is. I'll tell everybody what gun that Doc and I agree on, and that is the GP100, the Ruger GP100. That is an awesome revolver. Not quite as smooth and nice, not quite as light, not quite as pretty as Model 27 Smith or something like that. But it is rugged. It's they're just horsey as hell. And I don't think you could shoot one enough, or if you could, it would be a long time and many, many thousands of rounds before you would ever shoot one of those things loose. They are built so well. And if you just want, if you just had to buy one and expect it to last you for the rest of your life in a survival situation, promise you, the GP100 is the way to go. Doc, you said there's two guns there, so I must have missed something. Browning High Power. There you go. Yeah, I would never own another High Power, I don't think. If I would, it would be nothing for collector's value or whatever, but I cannot take away from them the reliability and the accuracy of a Browning High Power. They shoot. And to the best of my knowledge, as far as conventional handguns go, the 1911 was the only conventional handgun that had, or maybe I say conventional mass-produced handgun, that had 500-meter ladder sights on it. Doc, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's another conventional gun out there. There was an old Mauser that did, but I don't think there was ever a mass-produced conventional handgun out there that had 500-meter sights on it. So there was, I don't remember for sure. It seemed like there was about 800 of those made. Maybe it was 8,000. I don't remember. And they were distributed. They were issued specifically to officers, which I'm not sure why that was. But I think it was kind of an exercise in futility. Will a 9mm bullet make it 800 yards? I mean 500 meters? Yes, it will. It absolutely will. I can prove it. I've done it. But what's it going to do when it gets there? I probably wouldn't want to stand out there and catch one of them in my teeth, but I don't know if I'd be quite as concerned about that as a 223 or 7.62 with 39 or 308 or something. But however, we did do some interesting tests at 500 yards with a 40 caliber, and I was actually duly impressed by the energy that bullet had left over at 500 yards. Pretty impressive, and I can guarantee you I would not want to be out there and catch one of them. And I'm sure the 9mm is not too terribly far behind that. Quite a bit lighter, but nevertheless. The 40 did what it did. I think the 9mm would probably be pretty impressive as well. So I think we've been over how well that did at 500 yards before, so I'm not going to go into all that again. Hey, get out of my stuff. That's my stuff.
Your stuff is my stuff.
Oh, really?
But my stuff is my stuff.
Okay, we'll see about that. Amy is stealing my trail mix, just so everybody knows. She just waltzed right in here. Of course, the room lit all up when she walks in, so I thought this was a wonderful thing. And then she walked right in here and stuck her hand in my trail mix. Can you believe that? And no remorse, no nothing. Just grabbed a fistful of it and marched right out of here. Unbelievable. All right, let's see here. We have a couple of... Well, while we're talking about guns here, let's look at some legislation here that has been going on just this last Monday, day before yesterday, here in Arizona. I'm not entirely sure how useful these bills are. It seems like these legislators a lot of times spend a whole lot of time sitting around passing something so they can beat themselves on the chest and say what a good job they've done. And they'll stick their thumb in there and say, what a good boy am I. But at least they're doing something, so, and it's positive. But three firearm bills passed through the Senate on Monday. One of them is to allow firearms near schools. Now, that one kind of gets me because there's a, gun-free zone thing with the federal gun-free zone is gun-free school zone. You can't go within 1,000 feet of a school. Okay, well, evidently that's only going to apply here, I guess, if there happens to be a federal charge or investigation. I know that just because we passed a law saying they can go near schools, that the federal law is not going to go away. I guess it does mean that state law enforcement is not going to enforce it at all, ignore it. So that's a good thing. But we already said the only law right now as far as carrying guns around schools is you cannot drive onto school property with a loaded gun. Meaning if you're carrying, you're supposed to, and I've talked about this before, you're supposed to pull over to the curb there somewhere, I guess, before you go on to the school property, unload the gun, go in and drop the kid off, pull out, and load the gun back up and be on your merry way. That's the way the law stands right now. So I'm not sure just how beneficial this law is, other than maybe prohibiting the state and local law enforcement and county from assisting the feds or enforcing federal law. There's another one that supports, to legalize some deadly weapons. And another one overturns city ordinances restricting firearms. Now, I don't understand this because this brand new bill, I'm looking at the date here. This is not an old thing. It is March 29th, 2016, yesterday. Is when the story came out. Monday was when all this happened. Why do we have something that would overturn city ordinances restricting firearms? Well, let's go down here. Let's take these one at a time. Guns near schools. This would forbid any school governing board from kindergarten through 12th grade K through 12 through universities, from banning someone from legally possessing a deadly weapon on a public right-of-way adjacent to a school's campus. I don't see how that can be done anyway. How can you ban someone from legally having a gun on a public right-of-way adjacent to... How are people even supposed to know? I mean, that's just stupid. Okay, they've got a bill now that makes it where you don't have to worry about it anymore. And they mention in here about people driving, not even knowing, having their concealed weapon or going hunting or something and driving down the street next to a school. Well, it's never been a problem. I don't know why we passed this bill anyway. I'm not sure what it does for us exactly. It's not a bad thing that I can tell. But it says there's one guy here that... opposed every one of these bills. He says, we are assigning more rights to guns than we are to kids. We need to protect our kids, not further endanger them. It will allow guns adjacent to kids' playgrounds all over the state. Well, what an idiot. Do you really think that there's not guns adjacent to kids' playgrounds all over the state already? I got my chat rooms running away from me here, so let me cruise up here and see what's going on. Minnie's joined us. I don't know how many people we got in there anyway, but I'm not going to name them all. It takes too long. But let's see here. Let me pull this up here real quick. See if there's anything going on we need to look at. Come on, let's go. There you go. Thank you. All right. Don't forget what? When you come over to the meeting, bring Expo Fund. Oh, I see what you... And Tampico Scout has joined us. Katie Brad, I had a... I shot that sub 2000. Matter of fact, I think I've got it on video. I know I have some still pictures of it, but I think we have it on video of shooting that Kel-Tec sub 2000 in 40 caliber out at 500 yards. And that was an interesting deal. I actually did fairly well. I was kind of impressed with it. Tundra Boar, you know, that is exactly what Amy said. She just smiled real big and said, "Yeah, well, what's yours is mine." And I thought that was okay. And then she said, "And what's mine is mine." I said, "Oh, alrighty then." Let's see. You know, Doc's got a real good point there. That could be a long, horrible death right there, that any bullet wound could prove fatal in the absence of infection control, which is number one, why we need to be making silver and have the stuff to continue to make it. And number two, why we should be exceedingly cautious about getting injured in a poop hit the fan situation. No kidding. I agree. Alright. Hey, V2 Basic, Ziva's driving. I don't know if I want to come up there or not. And I guess she's out driving right now instead of in here where she's supposed to be listening to the show. Yeah, we'll see. Alright, let me get back over here and get back to what I was doing. Here it is. Alright. Guns near schools, I think we've covered that well enough. Prohibited weapons, another bill that they passed, would exclude from the state definition of prohibited weapons any firearms or devices that are possessed, manufactured, or transferred in compliance with federal law. We're simply saying that if the federal government says it's legal, we don't make it illegal here. So they've revised, the guy that was against all this said the revised wording could legalize the possession of gun silencers, bombs, grenades, and poison gas. Really? Boy, the liberal just drips off of this idiot. Silencers are already legal. Actually, I believe that they've even passed a law here in Arizona that makes them legal to hunt with. I'm not positive, but I think they did. Just because you have to get a license for something doesn't make it illegal. Is it right? No. Is it constitutional? No. But it's not illegal. Bombs, grenades, and poison gas. Alrighty then. And I'm not sure that federal law anywhere allows bombs, grenades, or poison gas. But if federal law allows it, Arizona law now allows it. This guy, they only quoted the one guy that's against all this stuff. They didn't quote any of the, obviously there was a majority that were for these laws. They didn't quote any of them. This guy, they quoted him twice in every one of these. He said, so we're now in favor of rights for poison gas. I have some trouble with that. I don't know why we want to expand the right to kill and injure ourselves in new and exciting ways. What a freaking moron. Jeez. Another bill, the Weapons Compact here that they're talking about, would allow Arizona to join a compact with other states to develop uniform firearm transfer laws. In the absence of regular constitutional law, I don't see that this is a bad thing. All the member states would have to comply with the compact's regulations. This is rather like a coalition here. Kind of. Member states may not impose any fee, tax, or regulation on the transfer of firearms by any person above what federal law requires. We're creating our own little federal government here that gives away our state sovereignty to a bunch of other states. This is the one guy that is against everything. He said, we're creating our own little federal government here that gives away our state sovereignty to a bunch of other states. How stupid is this guy? That's giving away our constituents' power. That's a terrible idea. What a ditz. Well, Senator Allen, Sylvia Allen, she's definitely pro-gun. I know Sylvia pretty well. She said, since the founding of our country, states have gone into numerous compacts and have joined together about many issues. This is just a way for states to join together to protect their common interest, to do things together, and to work on different issues together. Some other bills that are at various stages of the legislative process. Senate Bill 1257, which would allow individuals to legally carry firearms in most public buildings, still needs a vote of the House Committee of the Whole and then a final House vote. HB 2072, to allow guns on university and community college campuses, is dead. Republican leadership never granted it a public hearing. Well, thanks for nothing. HB 2300 would prohibit the state, counties, and cities from enforcing any federal law that violates the Second Amendment. The bill is awaiting a hearing in the Senate Committee of the Whole. Senate Bill 1266 would declare invalid any county or city regulation that conflicts with state laws regulating firearms. It needs a final House vote. See, that one is 100% and totally useless. A waste of time, waste of money, waste of resources. They could be doing something. They could be feeding the homeless or whatever. But Arizona is already has a state preemption law, which means that no municipality or smaller political subdivision, however they word that, can make any law any more stringent than what state law already is. What that means is you can't drive across a county line or in city limits somewhere and then find that you've violated some obscure law that you didn't know about. The laws are uniform throughout the state. So this would declare invalid any... Well, now wait, maybe I could... maybe I can see one thing that this could do. Okay? If a city were to make a law, or a county, and say that it's illegal to have concealed weapons in this county, it is a law. By their standards, by this particular county or this particular city. And if you violate that law, yes, they can arrest you, put you in jail, charge you, sentence you, fine you, whatever. Will you win if you fight it? Absolutely, because state preemption law says they can't do that. But what this would do, this makes a little more sense now. What this would do is declare all of those invalid so that they're not laws to start with. So they can make all the laws that they want to, but they are invalid. So that, maybe it makes a little bit more sense that way. So, anyway. All right. Well, I got to catch my breath here. I'll be back in a minute. Come on, Ryan. Let's get on with it here.
A sign there on your back. See? Says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. Well, that's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going and don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were. You've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire. Walk right through it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there.
Simple little things are the miracle cure.
Yeah, Amy caught on to that one pretty quick. All she's got to do is give me that wink, and it's all over. All right. We had I got to tell you a couple of stories here. They are diametrically opposed of each other. And let me see here. I think I'll do the bad one first. Let me see. Did I bring that one up here? Hang on a minute. Maybe I didn't. Stand by. Let me bring it. There we go. All right. It's on its way. All right. Now this one, and this is rather like the Oregon State Police, Harney County Sheriff, most of the feds. This poor guy, his 16-year-old son got mad at him because he wouldn't let him go out. He'd done bad in school, and he said, well, you're grounded. You're not going anywhere tonight. So this little punk kid just says, well, I'll call the cops, and I'll tell them you're drunk and you got a gun, and he did. And the cops show up, and this guy did pretty much what he was supposed to do. He had his hands up on, and hang on, let me turn this stupid thing off here. It's making racket. There we go. The cops get out, guns drawn, and this was in Caldwell County. Where is Caldwell County? Looks like it might be Montana. Not sure here. But at any rate, they come, guns drawn. They told the guy to turn around and walk backwards to him so he could handcuff him. He said, no, you can come up here and handcuff me right here. That was probably the one thing that he did, which doesn't warrant the treatment that he got after that. They tore him up pretty bad. And then they lied about it, just like the FBI lied in Burns, Oregon. And this guy told a real good story about what happened, but it wasn't what happened. And thank goodness this guy had the foresight a few years ago to put security cameras up in his yard, unbeknownst to the cops. And he caught every ounce of misjustice. Was that a good word? That these guys did here. And, of course, now the cops, when it was all said and done, I believe he got $180,000 for his getting beat up here. His face was cut up. They slammed him down in the rocks. His knee hurt where they put him down on the ground in the gravel on the driveway. And left him laying face down there for 15 minutes. Instead of just asking what was going on or finding out anything, they get up there and they start beating him up. He says, he said he agreed that it wouldn't have occurred if his son had not have called the cops for something so stupid. He said he got in trouble at school. I explained to him he was grounded. He got upset and blah, blah, blah. Next thing he knows, sees flashlights coming up the driveway. Now, just to back off from this, from the crux of the story just for a second. It says the next thing we see was flashlights coming up the driveway. Now that's one of the things we cover in Personal Defense Handgun 3 is we have a night shoot. If this guy had been armed and if he'd have been so inclined, guys walking around with flashlights would have been great targets.
That's one of the things that ticks me off so bad when we're out in the field, is people just wander around with flashlights on for no damn good reason. Let your eyes adjust to the dark. You may not be, may not have quite the vision of a cat or an owl when you're out there, but I've seen guys many times, many times, full moon, not a cloud in the sky, nice and bright, and they just wandering around. I've watched people sit at a fire, sitting down doing nothing but watching the fire with the flashlight on. What are you doing? I don't get it. People think they have this. It's comforting to them, I guess, that they have it on. They just walk around with it, not even looking at it. Not even shining it where they're walking sometimes. They just got it on. Now, that's something you guys need to remember. You watch the movies and all these cops in there, and they're running down tunnels and sewers and hallways and basements and attics and every place else, and they got their flashlights on, just looking all over the place with light on steadily all the time. We learn in Personal Defense Handgun 3 that this is not what we do. So, yeah, Doc, I agree. Yeah, those cops absolutely, absolutely ought to be buried. Let's see. All right, let's. This one was bad enough. Let's look at the other side of this. From a different part of the country, and I'm just gonna play the video. I think it's I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes long. And how this began, and I don't think the video starts right at the beginning, but how this began was a sheriff's deputy, Greenville County Sheriff's Office. Saw this guy, he's named Robert Morris, walking down the road in the nighttime, and he was crying, and he was homeless, and he was going on, and the first thing he did was, the cop, obviously, like so many of them, they was kind of stereotyped him, looking a bum, you know, what's he doing out there, and he was just with him for just a few minutes, and realized that what was going on here. So I'm gonna play this video for you. Listen to this great story. 6 minutes long, and it's coming. Stand by.
Greenville County Sheriff's Office.
My name is Robert Morris, and I was stopped by a deputy, and we sit down and we had a long talk. And he was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And at that time in my life, I was really messed up on drugs and alcohol. Let me tell you a story about Mr. Holman. Several months ago, I got flooded out of where I was staying. And he spotlighted me walking down Buncombe Road.
Spotlighted him, he turned around. And I said, you know, hey man, I hadn't seen you around here before. You know, do you live around here? And he said that he was homeless. But he had dropped his head and kind of sulked a little bit. And he said, officer, he said, I had a tent out in the woods. He said, but it got washed away with the flood.
He said, walk up here at the church and let me talk to you. And so he searched me, you know, he done the protocol, what he supposed to done, and then we got talking about what my situation was.
He had lost his mom and dad. He had lost his sister, and that after losing his sister, that he got addicted to drugs and alcohol. And he also said that he had two other siblings that are still alive, a brother and a sister. But once he had got addicted to drugs and alcohol, he pretty much ruined his relationship with them.
said, you need anything? I said, yeah, I need a Bible. And so he got in his trunk, and he thought he had an extra Bible back there that he keeps just for those occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't find one, so, boy, he closed the trunk, then he stood there for a minute, then he opened the trunk back up, and he gave me his personal Bible.
He had visited a church, and he wanted to get a Bible so they could read while he was out in the woods, but for whatever reason, he was unable to get a Bible, and I usually kept about two or three in my patrol car. One was my personal Bible. It was a little, small, black leather Bible, and I had wrote in this Bible, done Bible studies out of it with my brothers, and highlighted things, and it was just, it meant a lot to me. I was really attached to that Bible, and I kind of wrestled with the fact that I knew my personal Bible was in my car, and I didn't necessarily want to give that up, but I kind of felt like, you know, God was telling me, he needs this more than you do.
Then he asked me if I was hungry, and I said, yeah, I was hungry, and I said, I got a couple dollars in my pocket. I said, don't worry about it. He said, sit over on them steps, I'll be right back.
So before I departed from Mr. Morris, I told him, I said, you know, I'm sorry that I couldn't get you a shelter because they were all full. And I asked him, I said, is there anything else I can do for you? You know, when's the last time you've ate? And Mr. Morris told me, he said, well, I've got a couple dollars on me. And I explained to him, no, I'm not going to take your money and go buy you food. I'll buy it.
Officer Holman brought me a plate of food,
mm-hmm.
and it was about 2:30 in the morning. I was soaking wet.
Yeah,
I've been walking around for mm-hmm. days.
It was approximately 6 months to the day that I had met him that I received a voicemail, and it was from Robert Morse. He wanted to talk to me and tell me thank you. I ended up calling him back and talking to him a few times. He said, Officer Holm, you don't understand that because of what you've done. He said, I checked myself back into mental health. I was able to get regulated with my medication. I reconciled my relationship with my brother, with my sister. He's no longer living on the street. He was, he had moved back in with his brother or his sister. And, he told me, he said, it's because of what you've done that night, you stopping me. He said, this saved my life.
That was a pretty good story. That's, oh, stop. Just stop. It's over. We're done. Okay, then don't. Wow. All right, I think I got it that time. All right, I don't have a whole lot of commentary for that song, that story, but it's, and that's the one reason, though, that I tell people, I don't care what organization you belong to. I don't care what everybody else in your organization does. I will never believe that any whole group of people and every individual that belongs, whether it's law enforcement agencies, religious groups, whatever it may be, I'll never believe that each and every person in all those groups is bad. As many things as we're seeing in the news right now, again, worse now, you know, we went through this, we talked about this, you know, several times over the last 10 years. And each time I thought things were pretty bad. They're a lot worse now than they were the last time we talked about it. But I'll never believe that every cop out there on the street is bad. We're getting more and more bad ones, it seems like, all the time. But then we come up with a story like this. We see cops literally giving people a shirt off their back, you know, and feeding lost dog, you know, stray dogs and whatever. And it does help to restore
my faith in humanity just a little bit. And it's getting tough. It's getting harder and harder by the day, by the week here to do that, because we have so many. And I still don't know why we have, I mean, I know all the answers I'm going to get in the chat room. I've seen them all. But I still don't fully understand why there has to be an us against them deal. Why can't everybody be like this Deputy Holman out of Greenville County? Obviously, there's always been a few bad cops like that ever since our first cops ever. But anyway, I'll just go on and on about this. But okay, let's go. Let's take this last few minutes. I'm gonna pee in your post toasties here, a couple of you. You know, things have changed a lot, especially in flashlight techniques. And I don't know if anyone currently teaches you to hold the flashlight off to the side or over your head. There are a lot of things wrong with that. That is not at all the way that I know of that anybody teaches anymore. And it was, they have, you know, most of your law enforcement, just like so many other things, they learn new things. They find mistakes and holes in their theories and things change. Holding the light off to the side like that, or over your head, either one. Of course, the main thing wrong with it, and this is so dumb to me. I don't get why they ever taught this to begin with. But like I said, in the old days we didn't know any better. The main thing it does is it illuminates you just fine, and actually takes the light away from the target. They're not going to continue to stare at the light. They can see you plainly. Go out and do it. We do this in our classes. We show people the error in this way. If you hold it out to the side, you can see your target just plain as day. And the flashlight does not interfere with your vision because it's off to the side or it's over your head. So if you're doing this and you're taught to do that, what if you're in a you're 6 foot tall and you're in a 7 foot tall enclosure of some kind? You know, like I said, tunnel, hallway, sewers, whatever. You're in a hallway. You can't hold your arm out to the side. On the one hand, it'd say, well, it'd be easy enough just to bring it in a little bit. But you're still working against your training, your muscle memory there. You've got other people with you. You got to keep track of all them. You have people that maybe you may be responsible for that are non-combatants. You know, maybe that's not a good word, but anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. So in the way that we teach NRs, and as far as I know, most of your reputable training facilities now. Have you, what the hell, now I forgot, I can't believe I forgot the name of the technique. The information that I have on that technique, what in the world, I'm trying to think of, one of you help me out here. I know that B2 Basic and Tampico Scout know what that, unbelievable that I can't think of. Oh, shoot. What is it? It's important that I tell you what it is, if I could just remember it. Come on, one of you guys come up here. I know one of you's got it there. I don't know why in the world I can't think of that. And it looks like we've got the, What do you mean I cut out and didn't hear my question?
The name of the name, I know the guy's name. I know the guy that was his best friend. And I cannot believe that I can't think of it. The name of that flashlight technique. Come on, help me out here. One of you's got to know. The it's right on the tip of my tongue. I'll be damned. This is killing me. I swear, sometimes if I didn't have my wallet with me and my driver's license, I couldn't even remember my own name, so I guess it's not that bad. I'll be damned. Well, anyway, the person that I learned it from was the best friend of the person that invented this technique. Unbelievable. So I didn't get diluted information. I got second generation information. The guy that invented it taught the guy that, yes, you do B2 basic. You were there. Eddie Crump was there. Tampico Scout was there. Unbelievable. I can't believe that I am that senile right now and can't remember that. That's like not being able to remember your one of your kids' names or something. Harry's, Mike Harry's. It's the Harry's technique. Mike Harry's is the one that invented it, not too terribly many years ago. And this was there's a couple of things about this technique. One is how you hold the light. The other is how you operate it. What people didn't do when they were doing the Mini Men pin, that's a good guess, Chapman. I know who you're talking about, but no, that wasn't who it was. It's not only some of the techniques that, holding it over your head and out to the side. Now, those people just turn the light on and walk around with it on, holding it out to the side like that as much as they needed to. And that in itself is incredibly dangerous. So with the Harry's technique, one thing is, and that's the reason all these flashlights were invented with the click switch in the butt of it, is because of the Harry's technique. And you hold this light in your support hand, and you, with your thumb on the button of the light, you lock your wrist together, you bring your hand up under, and you kind of like, and I'm doing this for descriptive purposes, it's not actually how you teach it, but it's like you're resting your wrist on your wristwatch. You take your firing side hand, set on your other wrist, you hold the light. Done properly, the flashlight points exactly where your sights point. Every time you turn, every time you move, if you move your hand, if you move the light, the gun goes with you. If you move the gun, the light goes with you. So they're always together. You never point the light off here somewhere and then have to catch up with the gun if you see something, and vice versa. So you, the other thing about how you do this, that's how you hold it, and it's perfect. If done properly, it's perfect. You keep your elbows up tight to your sides, lock your wrist together, put the flashlight on the support on the, actually, if you're right-handed, the flashlight would come around to the right side of the gun. And then you shine it where you want to look. Absolutely no more than 2 seconds. Turn it off and move. It takes the average person at least 2 seconds to make the decision to... they see the target, acquire the target, make the decision to shoot. It takes about 2 seconds to do that. So you don't want to leave that on any longer than 2 seconds. You want to turn it off immediately after that 2 seconds and move. Doesn't matter how far you move. You move 3 or 4 or 5 feet. Just don't be there anymore. So if they're shooting at that white spot that they see in their eyes there where the light used to be, you don't need to be there. So, and then you want to turn it off, turn it on while it's pointing the direction you want it to go. Don't turn it on pointing at your feet and then track it out to your target. Don't be on target or searching and then bring the light down and turn it off and track back to yourself. You want to bring it up, get it in the general direction you want to shoot or you want to search. Turn it on, check, 2 seconds, no more, turn it off, and move. And you do that until you get done whatever it is you need to do. And it works exceedingly well. Yakima Glock, that little Terralux flashlight, yeah, that's a damn good light. They're a little bit longer than I like, but that is an excellent cheap flashlight. Very good. So anyway, that's in a nutshell, that's how the Harry's technique works there. And I think if you try it and practice it, get used to it, I think you'll find that it's extremely accurate, it's fast, it's comfortable, and done properly, I think it is much, much safer than most of your other techniques out there. There's a couple of others, actually there's about a half a dozen different techniques, and I'm not a real big fan of any of the rest of them. I think that most of them have tried to counter the Harry's technique, try to do something different. I've told you guys many times that you get into this business, actually about any business, anything from training horses to scrubbing toilets, it don't matter. Everybody wants to kind of put their own handle on something. I've invented this technique, and this is the Charlie Brown technique for doing this thing, and it's better than anybody else. And it's kind of for the same reason militias keep failing, is because of egos. And that's why we have so many different names for the same kind of stuff there. Anyway, I don't know if that was of any use to you or not, but I decided I'd get it out there for you just for the heck of it. All right, well, we've run over time just a little bit, so not a big deal. I hope you guys got something out of the show tonight. Remember, for the rest of the week, we will be on as normal. Amy will be on tomorrow night at her regularly scheduled time, and I'll be right behind her. And Liberty Lounge will be on at its regular time on Friday. Next week, everything will be normal, except I'm not sure what's going to happen Friday night, but I know that Wednesday night there will not be a show. I will be on another task that needs done. And Friday, I'm not sure about yet. Matter of fact, let me check. May not be even be Friday. Let me look over and see. Maybe it's Saturday. Stay with me here, and I'll get you. Okay, April. Okay, next week will be good. And then, one of them is on Friday the 15th, so that one I don't know about for sure. Wednesday the 13th, I am positive that we will not be having a show. So, okay, let me get on out of here. I'm starting to babble and not making any sense, as happens so frequently around here. So I will see you guys tomorrow night, right after Living Way Out Here with my lovely wife, Amy. Good night.
Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. That's freedom.